Good afternoon, brethren. Today I'd like to speak on the subject of being like God. And the first and obvious question is, what is God like? Now we know that when Christ was on the earth, he appeared like a typical human being. There was nothing special about his appearance that made him stand out. We also know that when God, usually in the person of Christ, before his birth as a human being, sometimes manifested himself looking like a man. And in the experience that Jacob had, he fought with a man all night. Exodus 24, verses 10 to 11, describes what the elders of Israel saw when they worshipped God from afar. Now, the fact that it was from afar is mentioned in Exodus chapter 24, verse 1. That's Exodus chapter 24, verse 1. Now he said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar." So Exodus 24, verses 10 and 11 state, "And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel he did not lay his hand. So they saw God, and they ate and drank." This is an indication that God, even in his glorified state, had the resemblance of a human with feet. Of course, there is another description of this glorified Christ in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 1. Here John was in the Spirit, apparently partaking of a vision, as is stated in verse 10. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet." So Revelation chapter 1 verses 12 to 16 states, "Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength." This again shows that the glorified Jesus Christ had the appearance similar to a man, but with differences that exhibit his glory. There are many attributes of God, but I want to concentrate on one in particular in this sermonette. The one particular attribute of God mentioned many times is his knowledge. It is so far above our knowledge that we cannot even imagine it. Our minds are very limited. Psalm 147, verses 4 and 5, that Psalm 147, verses 4 and 5, reveals some of this. "He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite." Infinite basically means without any limits. Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 and 30, that's Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 and 30, gives us more information on what God knows. "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs on your head are all numbered." So God knows from the details of the universe down to the hairs on our head. And to top this off, God knew before the world was created who he was going to call, as Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, that's Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, informs us. "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." So there are a number of mentions in the Bible about being like God, mostly positive, but some negative in context. The first mention, of course, is in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. That's Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, where we read, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. This informs us that we are in appearance like God and are given certain abilities. Stated here is dominion over all the earth. This is a very positive attribute. Now Genesis chapter 5 verse 1, that's Genesis chapter 5 verse 1, reinforces this appearance. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. And Genesis chapter 5 verse 3 explains what this means, what in a likeness means. And Adam lived 130 years, and he begot a son in his own likeness after his image, and named him Seth. Since this shows that Seth was similar in appearance to Adam, then Genesis 1:26, using the same words, indicates that we have a similar appearance to God. However, the next mention of likeness to God after Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 is in Genesis chapter 3 verses 5 and 6. "For God knows," this is Satan speaking, "for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. This lie of Satan promised more knowledge, more wisdom than they already had, as if God was hiding something from them. They could have more of God's attributes. Unfortunately, this was a lie to deceive Eve, and even though Adam was not deceived, they both sinned and were expelled from the garden. Now going forward to the time of David, he was also born in the likeness of God as a human. But he expected to be resurrected and to be able to see God, because he would be more like God than just in a physical appearance. He certainly would have known that in Exodus 33 verse 20, that Moses was told, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And yet David says in Psalm 17 verse 15, "As for me, I will see your face in righteousness." And the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5 verse 8, informs us that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So continuing back in Psalm 17 verse 15, where it states, "I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." Now obviously awake does not mean just from physical sleep, because David understood that when he wrote in Psalm 13 verse 3, that David believed that death was a sleep. "Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." So David expected to be awakened from death, not just physical sleep. He knew that when he awoke each morning, he would not be in God's likeness, not spiritually. So this is referring to something that would occur after his future death. Isaiah 14 verses 12 to 15 shows us that Satan wanted to be like God. The Hebrew word "like" can mean comparable, to resemble, to liken. And we read, "How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer," which is in Hebrew is Haliel, literally meaning morning star. Continuing, "Son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. In the commentaries, this passage is assumed to be continuing the description of the physical king of Babylon. However, no human could ascend into heaven and exalt his throne above the stars of God. So this passage, and the one with similarities in Ezekiel 28, cannot be speaking about a human being, but about Satan. The Jemison, Fawcett and Brown Bible commentary states that clouds is actually singular, cloud. And they speculate that this could refer to the cloud, the symbol of the divine presence as stated in Exodus, where the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud. However, it can be quite informative to examine the commentaries that what they do say. Matthew Poole's commentary states that like the Most High means in the uncontrollableness of my power and the universal extent of my dominion over all the earth. In other words, answerable to no one and in control over everyone. However, there's one area in which Satan does not want to be able to, be like God, and that is in the area of truth. Now we read about God in Titus chapter 1, verse 2. That's Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 18, that's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, also confirms this, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for a refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Whereas when we see Satan's nature revealed to us by Jesus Christ, truth is not a part of him. In the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 44, that's John 8, verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So Satan wanted to be like God only in the area that suited him, the area of domination and power, but not in the area of righteousness and truth. There is no indication that Satan wants to give up lying. However, there are promises to God's people that we will be like God in the resurrection as David looked forward to when he was going to be resurrected. As we read previously in Psalm 17, verse 15, I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Going back to the New Testament, in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, that's Romans chapter 8, verse 17, informs us that we'll be ultimately be glorified. Remembering how the book of Revelation describes a glorified Christ. So in Romans we read, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Or as the New International Version puts it, that we may also share his glory. And Romans, continuing chapter 8, verse 29, this continues the theme, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. This is obviously not just the physical image, because we are already created in the physical image. But as we read previously in verse 17, it is the glorious image, as we read, that we may also share in his glory. Now we can turn onwards to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's often considered to be the love chapter, which it truly is. But it does also include prophecy. In verses 9 and 10, we read, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away." And when that which is perfect has come, verse 12 reveals to us, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known." Now we remember that David expected to see God's face in righteousness. We shall also be able to see God's face, but not just seeing God, because we know that God knows us fully. This verse tells us that we shall also know in full, to have knowledge like God has. And for the next scripture that I come to, which many would be expecting, is in the book of 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. That's 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." In other words, face to face. And the only way we'll be able to see God is if we are like him as a glorious spirit being. This means we will be God beings. Christ was and is equal with the Father, as we read in Philippians 2, chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So shall we be, not just similar but equal, but not in authority, of course. As remember Christ in John 14:28, that's John chapter 14, verse 28, saying, "My Father is greater than I," even though in all other ways they are equal. So we shall be conformed in the image of Christ, as we read previously in Romans 8:29. We will be transformed into the same image, the image of Christ. And as we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." As we have heard so many times, God is recreating himself through humans so that man can become God. And for more information, please read our free booklet, God is Our Destiny, and especially chapter 7 in this context, titled Equal with God. We were born in the image of God as physical human beings, so we are presently children of God, but still physical humans. And as God told Moses, we cannot see God's face as humans and live. Yet the promises God has given us are that if we are pure in heart, and of course have the other attributes that God requires of us, we will see God. We will see him face to face, sharing his glory. And to be able to do all of this, we shall be like him.